Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week I bring to the show people I really feel are at the cutting edge of consciousness of an evolving society where we are here to know ourselves better and know each other better and drop into a deeper level of the human experience. So tonight's guest is someone who's very much along those lines. Her name is Tini Dakini, and we're going to talk about relationships, patterns of behavior, tantra. How's that, Tini? That sound right?
Yes.
Well, I have a personal investment in this conversation because, you know, no, I'm serious, because when we meet someone, we sort of, and I think you've studied this, when we meet someone, we want to understand their patterns of behavior. We want to figure them out. We want to try to come to some meeting with them in terms of personalities. And, you know, I don't know if we ever really ever understand somebody because there's just such a mystery, but I think the technology or the communication skills that you're aware of can help people know themselves and each other better. Is that fair to say?
Yes. These classes I'm doing now, this work I'm doing now, is really just another doorway, another tool to understand how we interact with each other, and this time on an energetic level, because a lot of people think sometimes it might be about a physical thing, and if they could just physically do the right things or even verbally say the right things, it will create perfect relationship. But there's a lot going on energetically, which is, I often call, you know, the language of energy our first language. It is,
right.
It is
so,
the first language we start speaking.
So how do we understand another's energy field, and how do we communicate with that field?
Well, luckily, there have been a lot of pioneers who've already studied this. If you're familiar with the work of Wilhelm Reich, and a lot of, you know, the core energetics work is based on his studies of energetic patterns in people, and these are an incredible tool to begin to understand what patterns we might be doing with our energy. And the patterns are basically just habits. And once we are able to notice what our energetic habits are, we can change them.
Well, give me an example of an energetic habit. I don't really know what you mean fully.
Okay. There's five of them, really, but a very popular one is what we commonly call disassociation. Or what's happening energetically is when the energy gets big, the energy in the environment gets big.
Well, what do you mean by big? Big?
Intense or chaotic.
Okay.
So if, you know, the person has developed a habit, and they may have even developed it in childhood, of actually energetically leaving their body. So their physical body is still there, but their the energy, their attention, is actually goes outside their physical body. So it's, and you hear this a lot, people will describe, especially people who have been through some trauma, that they feel like they've left their body and they're up on the ceiling looking down and watching things happening to them, but they're not actually in their body. That can actually be a pattern, a habit, where people make it a habit to disassociate or leave their body, their physical being, and you can imagine that would be a problem in trying to create intimacy with someone.
I think you're right. So, I mean, people have been abused, you're really talking about, in some way, right?
It's very common for, you know, children who've experienced extreme trauma and sexual abuse, physical abuse,
emotional abuse,
habit. Emotional abuse, absolutely.
So, and I mean, should we go through the five patterns and afterward you'll tell us how to fix it, or should we talk about healing the pattern right now as you bring it up? Would that be better? Or?
I asked you, instead of going through all of them one by one, should we talk about healing them or go through them? What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, let's just talk about the patterns first, because basically the healing part is pretty much, the solutions are pretty much the same
for all
the patterns, you know.
So let's talk about the, so the first one is the disconnect, the disassociation, right?
The disassociated. The second one I would say would be a pattern of what is happening in the energetic field or the aura field, the auric field, is there's actually holes in the aura, and the person is, you know, you can give the person as much love and attention, but it actually is leaking out of the person. And this is the person that always feels empty. And they usually have incredible abandonment fears. And the more they feel rejected, the tighter they cling. So you often see this person in a relationship with someone who feels the person is too needy. And that's actually an energetic pattern, that this person lacks a sense of self and an ability to hold energy.
But what would create a hole in that aura field?
In childhood, if the needs aren't met, the child is not able to fully develop on an energetic level.
But was there one major thing that would create a hole, or is it just slow?
There could be, or there could be many events, many letdowns, or just a pattern where the child doesn't get to need or doesn't get their needs fulfilled.
So do you notice that the more the person has the pattern, the more they indulge in the pattern? Like the more the person has needs or is needy, the more needy they'll be? I mean, they sort of perpetuate their patterns, right?
Because the patterns are actually habits. And a lot of it is not even conscious behavior. It's a reality that we live in. It's kind of like we created our own reality, and there's a belief system under there that the world is this way. And for that needy person, often the belief system that comes up is, I'm not going to get what I want, and there's not enough. And
right.
That makes, you know, that can show up as either refusing to admit you need something or clinging for dear life.
Okay, we'll get to how that's healed. So let's go to the next one, because it's very interesting, all this, because I could see different people in all these patterns. So yeah, the next one is.
And the next one would be a pattern of accommodation. Somebody really accommodating everyone, taking care of others' needs over themselves.
I think I do that one. I think
that might be, and this can look like we'll discuss your patterns in a moment. But
okay.
This is like, you know, really not being able to speak their truth about what they really need, because they're really taking care of everyone else and being terrified of conflict.
Yeah, I know somebody like that, actually, even more than myself.
Probably everyone I'm talking about, if people can listen and say, wait a minute, I know a person like that. Because these are the things that we do. It's pretty much how humans, there's pretty much five basic ways that humans do energetic habits.
But these are the negative aspects of how they do energy. There must be some positive aspects. Right. Okay.
So
let me go back to
that disassociated person. Usually is extremely creative.
Okay.
So that's the light side. So you're right. There is a light side to the patterns as well.
Uh-huh.
So that even though that person can leave their body, they're usually extremely psychic and extremely creative.
Right.
That first pattern that I was talking about.
The second
pattern is usually the most compassionate, because they know what it feels like to have feelings. And to have unmet needs. So they're usually really good at reading other people's feelings and those people's needs.
And this
third one holds really great space for people. And they accept people for who they are.
Uh-huh.
They're the least likely to criticize. and actually to give a lot of acceptance and hold a lot of loving space for people.
Oh, I see. That's interesting. Okay, yeah. The fourth one.
The fourth one tends to armor up and not feel anything. So it's almost they get very rigid and kind of close down, and they start to not feel their feelings. And there's especially a cutoff between the genitals and the heart center. So sex and heart are not connected. There's a disconnect there with this one. So it's like a lack of feeling. But the light side of that pattern is those people are excellent problem solvers.
Right, but what would make someone that way? What got to them that would make them shut off like that?
Well, here's an example. When a child is being held by their mother, and you notice these things all go back to childhood, and they can go back to infancy.
Right, it's all your mother's fault, you know that.
It's all your mother's fault. If it's not one thing, it's your mother.
Yeah, exactly. So it does go back. This is where we learn to function in the world from childhood on, and it must be very hard, but we'll get to that, to change those patterns, but I know it's possible.
Yeah, so, and you know, it's not really about saying, oh, it's all the parents' fault, because your parents didn't have perfect parents, and their parents didn't have perfect parents. And so energetically what's been going on is people have been doing the best they can do. But
right.
An example of how that heart-genital split can happen is when the mother is holding a child, holding a baby will naturally have all kinds of sensations. You know, babies are just wide open. And that includes, you know, sensations in the second chakra that are sexual in nature,
right.
Sensual. The second chakra
right.
is sensual. And if the mother is made or the parent is made a little nervous by the child experiencing that, her energy might actually shut down around that baby's second chakra. The baby feels that. Like I said, the energetic language is the first language. And then the baby learns, you know, on this, you know, not even a conscious level that there's something going on there, there's something wrong there. So as a result, the second chakra and the fourth chakra don't get connected.
Right.
And the child might grow up with a very rigid disposition.
I see. So that is that usually how that happens? It seems like that could also be from abuse as well. People who, you know, shut down or have been forced to do a sort of upbringing they don't want or some kind of... Anyway, there's lots of ways people shut down, but yeah.
There's lots of ways that these habits can develop because there's lots of, you know, there's an endless possibility of things that can happen to us. As human beings.
Do these habits inhabit us all the time, or do they come and go?
Well, here's the interesting thing, is that we have two patterns. You have a primary pattern and a secondary pattern, so usually we only do two of them. When your first one isn't working, you normally kick into your second one.
Well, why would we use it? What do you mean working? Why would we want these unconscious patterns to even work in our lives?
Well, in childhood, at a time when we didn't know anything else, we developed them for some kind of protection, whether there was a real threat or a perceived threat. So you can imagine if a child didn't feel safe in their environment for whatever reason, they might leave their body. And it might have been a perceived threat or a real one. We're not saying that, and even the child who felt abandoned or not getting their needs met, it could have been that the mother was sick and couldn't, or there was another baby and the mother couldn't hold the first child as much. But the perceived, the thing that's perceived from the child is that it's an abandonment. So it's all the perception as well. As well as, you know, real things that have happened to us.
Okay, so those are four. What's the fifth one?
The fifth one tends to be that the person, the dark side is the person builds to a level of high energy where they will not embrace any vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And they tend to be perceived more as intrusive energies. So the person actually develops a way of making their energy so big that a lot of people find it intrusive. And it's a way of protection where they don't ever have to be vulnerable. And the light side of that pattern is that that person has a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of energy. And if you want to get something done or put a lot of entertainment value into something, this person possesses the ability to actually draw the attention of people to where they want that person's attention to go to, because their energy is so big and so strong.
So what's so weird, I mean, or interesting, is that there's two people in a relationship that are each in their pattern, and they have
two different ones also. So you've got four patterns all together.
Are they usually different patterns of people? And I mean, you wouldn't have like two people like disassociated in the same relationship. That would be too strange, right?
You could, because they could both disassociate together and go play in the ethers, you know.
But wouldn't it usually be sort of something that they're not that pulls them together, or it doesn't matter?
Most likely, you usually find that opposites attract. And here's the thing, Alan. We're talking about patterns, and these are just habits. This isn't who people are. It's what they're doing with their energy. So you ask, you know, are we in our pattern all the time? And the answer is no, because there's a habit,
mm-hmm.
but then there's also presence, which is something completely different, which is when we're in our essence and we're
aligned. Tell me about that.
The universe. So
we're in our press. Sorry, I cut you off because that sounded really beautiful.
Yes.
So say it again, so I get it.
Sure. You know, there's pattern, and that's just habit. That's just, you know, we're falling into old habit, but then there's presence, and there's our actual essence, and the essence of the person is who you fall in love with, you know. So when you're talking about what draws people together, is that everyone has this essence, this, you know, spark of the divine that lives in them, this, you know, some in Tantra we call it the goddess essence. What you see in someone, that special thing that's just about them, their vibration, their resonance, their energy. And that's who people really are.
Right.
And then we tend to fall into these habits, and we can change those habits. And the more we start to integrate the ways we're managing our energy that aren't serving us, you know, we can pull ourselves more and more into this presence and live more and more in our essence.
Well, let's talk about that. That really sounds exciting, because I do see sometimes people's essences, and you do fall in love with that, and then their patterns come in. Of course, I'm not seeing mine, but their patterns come in, and it's like, this isn't the person I saw a few minutes ago or yesterday. Yeah. So
in the beginning of a relationship, you know, I think a lot of people are seeing that essence, and they're doing their best. You know, it's all new and they're excited. And then as the relationship grows a little bit and you actually start to get closer and more intimacy happens, sometimes that can feel really scary. And that's when the patterns come up, because the patterns are actually defenses that, you know, the subconscious mind created to protect. And there's a way, you know, if you know anything about the brain, that there's, you know, we have our primal reptilian piece of our brain that doesn't discern between present and past, and sometimes still thinks we're in danger.
Right, and if we imagine a danger, the body will react just as strongly to the imagined danger than it will to a real danger. Yeah,
and that's the energy body as well. Yeah.
So how do we? I mean, I think it is possible to live in presence like that. To be in love all the time and to live happily ever after, to live the ideal life. But, so how do we do it, Teenie?
I'll tell you. Well, this is what the Energy Essentials classes are about, is the techniques that I'm teaching, which I learned from my teacher, Linda.
Linda who?
In Berkeley, California. Linda Cesera.
Uh-huh.
And she calls them the basics. I have named the course Energy Essentials. And what this class is teaching four basic energy skills that help us to pull ourselves out of pattern and into presence.
Well, can you give us a small little sample?
An idea of what they are, yeah.
Yeah.
They have to do with grounding, you know, and what grounding is being fully in the body on this third dimensional plane,
mm-hmm.
and being aware of our connection to the earth. And, you know, if we were in a different culture, you know, I'm talking to you now from New York City, and
mm-hmm.
there's ways where we're really disconnected from the energy of the earth. There's, you know, many layers of concrete and things happening at a very chaotic pace, and it's not often that we get to stand on the Mother Earth with bare feet and really feel the energy of the earth. So as a result, our culture has become really disconnected from ground. You know, if you go and visit farming cultures, cultures where people grow and pick their own food and have a specific, very you know, entwined relationship with the earth, you might find a different kind of groundedness in
mm-hmm.
them. You know, people who dialogue with the earth on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
But this
is
something we need to get back.
Right. I just want to defend New York City for a second, because all this stone and brick is pretty earth-oriented. It's all earth. I mean, we're surrounded. We live in these caves. We're in the
mm-hmm.
earth. There's earth everywhere, but... So, but I know what you mean. It's more, it's that nature spirit. But,
nature,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah. That's, so grounding in nature, connecting to that organic cycle is one way of breaking the pattern, would you say?
It is. Because, you know, and think about it. If your habit is to disassociate and leave your physical body, that's what you need the most, is you need to ground. This grounding gets you in your body. And if you want to manifest anything in third dimensional reality, whether it be abundance, intimacy, relationship, anything you want to create, you have to be here. You have to be on this plane, you know, interacting in third dimensional reality. So that's one of the things that, and you'll notice, you know, when I'm talking about the energy getting big or chaotic or intense, a lot of people, they tend to go into fear, and fear ungrounds you. You know, fear tends to take you, if you ever feel yourself going into fear, you might notice the energy goes up, 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 maybe into the chest, the heart starts beating, the gut gets tight, but it goes away from the feet and up towards the top of the body, and you get kind of top heavy. You're not really rooted. You're not at your fullest strength there. So this is why I teach a grounding practice.
I see. Okay, what is some of the other practices? Yeah.
Another one of the essentials, another one of the skills is being able to determine what's your energy and what's someone else's energy. And we talk about this one a lot. And this actually, you know, incorporates two of those skills, which is, you know, knowing where you begin and where someone else ends, kind of thing.
So how do you figure that out? Because some people are so empathic and sensitive that they sort of become the other person. They energetically merge with the other person.
Yes. Well, I mean, this is why the class exists. I'm not going to go through the whole.
No, we want to save some for the course, but
we want to save some. But you know what I'm teaching is. Basically, first, how to figure out what's your energy and what is someone else's. And this, it just requires some practice. So, and, you know, I use a lot of visualization, but actual energetic practices in the course where you get to feel it instead of it being a concept. You know, and I'll have sometimes the students working with each other with this concept of, okay, where do I end and you begin? So I have them doing actual energetic practices in the class so they can really experience that.
I see. So that sounds really good. That's a
good.
And then what, you want to share some of the other things?
So far I've covered ground. These are the names of the classes that we have. Ground, we have castle and container. So those two are about the what's, Where am I and what are you? you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the last of the series is called Core, and that is about coming into this essence that I was talking about earlier. You know, when and this is, you know, we've heard this phrase core before, core energetics, what is the core? It is. We're talking about that essence. What's the real authentic you? Getting to that authentic self. That self that is connected to the divine. Not all the defenses and all the habits and all the personality quirks and all that, but the real essence of the person.
Well, that's the basis of all of this. We want, that's where we want to live, in that core. So that's, I guess that's the essential question is, how do we get there?
Well, we get there by, this is, you know, why I'm so excited about this, these classes is because I've been doing this work for 20 years, you know, core energetics, emotional release work, getting to that core, and I love this system, using these basics because you know, it cuts through a lot. And it gives you daily practices where you just start to peel away those layers. You make these your daily practices, and they become your new habits. It becomes your new habit to have ground and to have, you know, a knowledge of your energy and to, have attention and awareness about, your presence, basically. Mm. It becomes your new habit to become present. And that's really all it's doing is it's a daily practice that is very simple and very easy, but really to change anything, you have to change your habit.
Well, you have to notice your habit before you change it. So how do people even become aware that they're doing a pattern in order to change it? So what do you advise there?
Well, usually I'd advise checking, you know, if you use the skills and say you were checking your ground, because most of the patterns aren't grounded. So if you start to notice, wait a minute, am I grounded? And you check it. Oh, I'm not.
Wait, how do you check your ground? You check your ground by what? Feeling your feet on the floor?
That's right. That's one way. Yep.
Or feeling your body?
Definitely feeling your body. It would be good to notice if you're here or not.
Mm-hmm.
And some people kind of hang out half in and half out of their bodies. That's always interesting.
How do you know if they're in or they're out of their body? Wow, you're really hanging out of your body today, you know. Get in there. But how would you know?
Well, this is the thing. It is about attention.
Mm.
And, you know, I also encourage meditation and connection with the chakras because this enables, what that really is you paying attention to yourself.
Right.
And the more you start to pay attention to yourself, your energy, your physical feelings, your emotional feelings, your energetic feelings, all those things, you begin to be able to track your own energy, what we call tracking energy, which is paying attention. Because obviously, if our attention is elsewhere on the TV or Facebook or wherever, you know, we're not really, that's where our attention is going, so we're not paying attention to a whole lot of other things that we're doing energetically. But as soon as we start to put our attention there, then we actually can have some control because we can say, oh, I don't want my energy floating all over there. I'm going to bring it back over here.
Mm-hmm.
So attention is really the key.
So then,
how you change things. You start to pay attention to them.
You start to notice what you notice, as Allen Ginsberg said about poetry. So let's bring this all in, like, relationship to Tantra, because you're a teacher of Tantra as well, and Tantric connections and Tantric relationships, and explore, you know, that physical, emotional, sexual interaction with these energetic relationships. You know, how would you bring Tantra into the discussion?
Well, the interesting thing is that I was doing a lot of this kind of work before I went into Tantra. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, you know, we know that there's a lot of branches of Tantra. There's a lot of practices. There's the white Tantra practices of meditation and yoga and visualization, all those things, and a lot of, Western Tantra is centered around the red Tantra and interacting with another person, sometimes on a sexual level. So to really be fully present is one of the intentions of Tantra, whether we are, you know, that's what all the white tantric practices are building up to, the yoga and the meditation and the visualization. And, you know, it's necessary if we're going to connect to another being to be present, really, or else there's nothing to connect to. So,
right.
Oh, go ahead.
No. So the patterns, if they're in the way, we can never really have a tantric relationship or even involve the tantric practices because we're not in the presence. We have to be in that, what you said, the pure presence in order to even attempt a tantric connection.
Yeah, right? And they can get in the way. They can get in the way in a couple of different ways. The one that you just mentioned is that they're, you know, we're actually in our defensive and we're not in our real essence. Mm. Another one is that, you know, that people can get really mushed together sometimes, like you were talking about this merging and this confusion of energy, and especially with empathic people, and a lot of empathic people are drawn to those sexual healing practices in Tantra. Mm-hmm. So it's really necessary to actually have a boundary. And, you know,
what do you mean by a boundary?
A boundary like an edge, a knowledge of where I end and you begin, because that actually creates the excitement and the friction in the sexual practices of Tantra. And a lot of people get really turned off by the word boundary. I've been trying to figure out a way to make it sexy.
Yeah, make it sexy, because I was getting turned off. Because I want to merge. Let's merge, Teeny. No,
well,
but...
The thing about merging, Alan, is that when two energies merge, then there's no singular entity, entities. There's no you and me. It's it's like one blob that's us. But then we lose that dynamic of that tension between, let's say, the masculine and the feminine, if it's a man and a woman practicing Tantra. And if you lose yourself in a connection, then it's not a connection.
But isn't it both a losing and a sense of self at the same time? I mean, that's what I would think the ideal is. Like, you do lose the boundary, but you also get a greater sense of self. You don't, like, forget who you are. You just become a greater self. Does that make sense? Or am I too merged out?
No, I'm too merged out. No, I think it's kind of like this idea that you have to own something before you transcend it.
Right.
And
so you
a
have
lot
to...
of people are in a hurry to transcend right out of their bodies, and they don't have time to sit for 12 years and meditate before they open up their pranayama tube, and they don't have time to, you know, go live on a hilltop and eat a bowl of rice only once a day, you know, whatever, you know, ancient tantric masters used to do. But now everybody wants to get to the kundalini and the ecstatic bliss without doing any of that preparation of the body. And the truth is, you can't really transcend anything until you own it, and you can't transcend your body until you own your body. And
well,
if you don't have a clear feeling of exactly who you are, then you can't transcend who you are.
Well, that I agree with. You have to have a really solid foundation. You have to overcome all your patterns, or the ones that are in the way of that pure self, as you described it, in order to know the self. And when you know yourself, then you can merge with another self, because you will always have the singularity awareness of who you are. You'll never lose yourself completely, even in the merger, because you know yourself. You've owned it. Exactly.
And
I think it's a
different kind of merging. It's on a very high skillful level, but it requires these basics that I'm talking about. It requires that, like you said, that you have to touch this essence first. You have to be, in this deep connection with self and knowledge of self. And there's this special transcendence and then this merging on this other level that happens. But it is, necessary to have, for a greater experience, I think.
Well, I think so too, but it's a dance, it's a sort of, a give and take. It's like emerging and coming back. I don't think we could ever really merge with someone unless we do know ourselves, because who's merging anyway, right? I mean,
yeah, if you don't know who you are and you get lost in the merging, then, this is, what I'm seeing a lot too. And, when people merge and they don't have that sense of self and this ability to track their own energy, then when the other energy pulls away, you're devastated.
Right, because you're depending on that energy. So you're looking at Tantra from a purely kind of psychological, energetic perspective that way, right?
Yeah, and there's something about, if it's this fusion, that to me is not a healthy fusion or merging. When if the other energy pulls away, you're completely devastated. I don't think that's serving this higher consciousness that we're talking about. I think it has to be, that happens on another level after you've gained these skills. So that's why I think these skills are so important.
Right. So let's say we gain these skills. I'm just thinking hypothetically. We gain these skills. We find that peace inside of us that is that pure presence. We meet another pure presence. We merge physically, sexually, into the pure presence of who we are and who each others are separately and together. Where does that all go? Don't you see that as a kind of ultimate human experience?
It sounds fabulous the way you just described it.
Well, have you done that? Have you met people who've done that? That's what I want. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's how we're meant to live, with each other and with, with a lot of that power,
Yeah, and of course, and when we're talking about this essence of who we are, you've heard the phrase, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And so, and if you believe in the concept that we chose to come into these bodies and incarnate into these experiences, and, the truth is we feel limited because we're in this third plane reality, but our essence is unlimited. So, of course, part of our journey, part of our contract in coming here is to be on this learning journey, and this is part of it, just peeling away these layers of what's not us.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're just things that happen to us, but they're not us, and attaining this this presence, this integration and this presence, and it's all learning experience, and it can be beautiful. Depending on how you look at it.
Well, it must, yeah, no, I get that. And it is all beautiful, but it must also be sad for you to go around, because you have a keen awareness of energy, and see how unconscious people are, see how frozen in their patterns they are, and they don't even know they're in their patterns,
Yeah. What this work has opened up for me is a great deal of compassion. And I don't mean pity, because pity implies judging or this person has to be different, but just how amazing we all are that we've all survived, coming into this existence, and people are really doing the very best they can do with the skills that they have. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, why I'm so excited about these essentials, the energy essentials class, is because it's giving people a whole new skill set as far as being able to relate to self, that self with capital S, and to really integrate skills that were not given to us by our parents. And again, not judging the parents, but people did the best they could with what they had. But it really starts to shift and change people's lives when they can integrate and pull themselves into deeper presence and the gifts there in life, you know, just being more present for what's going on.
But,
so, and to see how many people are as excited about that as I am and who show up for this work and play in all of that, I guess, you know, I could go around and get depressed, but I don't about it because I'm looking at the other side of how many people are seeing results from it and experiencing more freedom and more power in their lives as a result of it. So.
But is it true you can't really point someone's patterns out unless they're open to seeing that? I mean, you only point out patterns that of people who have signed up for your workshop. You can't go up to someone and say, hey, you know you have a pattern, or do you?
I wouldn't. It doesn't really serve anybody to say that because most of us are in pattern a lot of the time anyway.
Right.
But it's rather also, you know, going deeper into the pattern work, you learn how to interact with each pattern from a place of compassion. So instead of maybe judging somebody, like we were talking about, somebody who disassociates a lot and doesn't really stay in their body, you know, I could get really irritated with them because they can't get their stuff together or, you know, they're so scattered or whatever. But if I see, like, wow, this person came from this reality, this was their defense, so what's the way that I can talk to them so that I can, so they can hear me and that we can communicate better? So not only is it compassion for someone else's experience and holding space for someone else's reality and someone else's experience, but also self-responsibility as far as my own energy and how I'm going to choose to interact with people on an energetic level and a physical level, the whole deal.
So what is the ultimate, I mean, I know presence is the kind of ultimate goal, but working with energy, where does your teacher want to take people ultimately? You know, what's like the final destination in a sense of freedom? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the end, of the work, of this work, this, does that make sense, that question?
It might in the way that I don't know the end of anything. I don't know. But I think, you know, there's so many gifts in the awareness of energy and the beginning of, like I was talking about, tracking energy and being able to pay attention and to notice what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it actually gives you more power, more self power, because once you can notice things, you know, awareness, like they say, is probably 90% of the game. But once you have that awareness, you are able to, you know, what I often say for people is you're able to see what's going on within yourself and then manifest what you really want to happen in your external world.
So it's like these patterns are unconscious, and we want to accomplish great things in the world, but these unconscious forces that are driving us get in the way of what we want to manifest, and we, until we're aware of it, we're in a way helpless to do anything about these, you know, our lives, in a sense. And we have to be brought out into the light what we're, how we're using our energy and how it's been programmed in order to overcome it and have the power that we need to achieve what we truly desire in the world. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great way to put it, because these are defenses and we created them.
And most people live defensively. They live that way.
Yeah.
They live in this unconscious sphere where they think that's how they have to be.
Yeah, and once you see something as merely a habit, it gives you so much more power over it that even, you know, the way you think, and even if you have a fear-based thinking or a fear-based belief, you can hear yourself think that thought and actually say, oh, that's just habit, that's just pattern. And
but
then
you
an alternate reality, a truth.
But even if you tell people that's a habit, or even if they see it themselves, they are still, a lot of people are justified by the fear because somehow the fear for them is real, even though it's still imaginary. That's such a strong emotion, the fear, that they are, they may see that they're in fear, but they also seem helpless to do anything about that a lot of times.
Yeah.
Right? How do you
Oh, that again is that belief system that I was talking about. You know, you can have a belief system that the world is against you or you can't have or it's not safe or any of those kinds of things based on fear. And fear is one of the most, powerful energies that we can live by. But what can also cure fear is, one, having an alternate reality that, you know, learning that, oh, it doesn't always have to be this way. This might not be a universal law, a universal truth.
But the fear might not be real. Like, it may, I'm just reacting with fear, but let's look at this in a more a present way, and is there anything really here to be afraid of?
Exactly. So we're opening up another doorway and showing, oh, you know, there might be other possibilities, other ways things can be. And that, you know what I think about when you say that, Alan, is when I was, I think I was in my 20s and I went to Europe, and that's when I went to Europe for 4 months and backpacked, and that's when I realized that the world was a much bigger place, you know, and you think about, you know, there's all these alternate realities going on. There's all this stuff, a completely different cultures and languages and people doing things in completely different ways. And that's kind of like what I'm talking about here. You're opening up the door. You've limited yourself by your fears and your belief systems that a lot of them may have been formed in infancy, if not in childhood. And then you can really start to open up the door and see, oh, you know, that's just because I was living in that little space, but there's a whole world of alternatives out there of what's possible.
So let's just review a little bit as we wrap up here. The best way to overcome the patterns are what? Just do like a quick, like, 1 or 2 minute review of all your work. Yes.
The best way to overcome habits, which are patterns and energy, is one, to strengthen your awareness, to strengthen your ability to pay attention, and that means paying attention to what's going on physically, emotionally, and energetically. If you don't know much about energy or you want to learn more, the energy essentials that I'm talking about are just these basic skills that you can utilize every day to get you out of pattern and into a more present place.
Well, you can give people your number as well and your information, how to find you.
Okay. Teeny Dakini. The number is 212-561-1643. My website is www.teenydakini.com. It's TeenyDakini. And there's an energy essential series going on right now on Sundays if people are interested. And they can always email me. My email is up there, teenydakini@gmail.com. And I'd be happy to answer any questions about the series or anything that we've talked about this evening.
Well, what I liked really what you were saying is this place of presence is a real place, and that is where we can all, that's where we can live.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we've been meant to live.
That's where we're going in 2009.
Okay. And for not to, you know, people may even find themselves in this presence, this, like, divine presence, and they freak out because their patterns don't fit in there, you know? And what do you say to someone like that who's not comfortable in the presence or forgets it or denies it?
You know, oftentimes people feel when they're in true presence and in their true essence, it's not a place of fear. It's where they feel the most aligned with the universe and the most right. But then the thing is that it can be very fleeting. And then the scary part is it wasn't real. You know,
right.
That maybe this, what we live in a world where everything, pretty much our media and everything, is designed to take us away from our faith. And whether that be faith, religious faith or spiritual faith or just faith in this essence, because, you know, companies want you to think you need to buy things and do things and so they can survive their thing. But I would just say, yeah, it's a real place, this presence. And the truth is that
it's the only real place, right? Yeah.
It's the only real thing.
Yes.
And everything else, we're just, you know, we've created this whole reality so we could learn that, that we are all divine children of God, Goddess, all there is, and that is who we are. And we can feel like that every day.
Yes.
So.
Well, that's your work, Teenie. That's why, you know, your work is so important. And I'm happy you were a guest on this program because
thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I know we've talked about it for a while, and here you are. And this program will be archived on bbsradio.com, also on my website, newrealities.com. So thank you. I've been talking to Teenie Dakini, practitioner of the elements, tantra teacher, energetic coach, I would say. And your website again is what?
Teenidakini.com. TeenidakiNI.
Thank you, Teenie. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Check my website, newrealities.com, and I'll be speaking to you next week. Thank you.